Content warning. On this podcast, we discuss sensitive issues, including but not limited to swearing, tasteless jokes, situations of a sexual nature, and drug use. This podcast is not intended for children. Hello, and welcome to BiblioRex, the podcast where we read the worst stories the world has to offer, and then we tell you all about it. I am Bugs.
And I'm Bam Bam.
And we are back for part two of Fallen Angel Love Triangle.
Christian Roman, yeah. Good old Stephen, Demogorgon, and Lydia.
And Lydia's in love with Stephen. Stephen's in love with Lydia.
Yep.
And Joseph is the Twilight
Jacob stand-in
who's mm-hmm. also in love with Lydia. And he's just a pain in the ass.
Yep. And I'm in love with Magdalene. So. Mm-hmm.
Who is casually dating people, which makes her a slut.
Yep. And she talks about how hot guys are. What a whore.
What a whore. Oh, my God. And we know that Lydia has secretly wanted relationships, and she admires Stephen's body, and she's mm-hmm. sleeping with Stephen, mm-hmm. but she still is super judgmental of her friend
yep.
and still has this holier-than-thou mm-hmm. attitude.
Even though we know in her mind that she's a whore, too.
And in these cultures where all sins are the same or whatever, mm-hmm. her having sex outside of marriage should not be any different than
right.
her friend dating casually.
Mm-hmm. So we'll just jump right into it. Last time they were at church for the umpteenth time.
Because she has to go to Bible study in church.
Every fucking day. Another day passes. Lydia goes to church again to light a candle for her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Her dead mom. And while she's praying, she hears footsteps. She says, "Who's there?" And no one says anything. So she pulls pepper spray out of her purse. And I'm like, good for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Keep that shit on you.
But she's in a church. You'd expect it to be the priest.
Yeah. One would think that would be kind of a safe space. But, you know, maybe the one you're worried about is the priest.
True.
And it turns out it's just Joseph who leans in too close. She doesn't want to hurt Joseph's feelings. He says he loves her, and he kisses her again and holds her down.
Oh my God.
So Stephen comes in again because he will just appear anytime Lydia is in any kind of distress, saves Lydia from Joseph, and tells Joseph to never kiss her again.
Does he paralyze Joseph again this time?
I don't think he does. Lydia.
That would be really funny. Every time they talk to each other, he just zaps.
It would be. I would love it if that happened. Just any time they had like any kind of interaction.
It's just zap.
Yeah. Even if Joseph is being a rapey douchebag or not.
Yeah. I don't like being zap.
But no, I actually think he doesn't do it this time because Lydia is just like, stop paralyzing my friend. He doesn't like it. Abrupt scene change. They just are automatically back at her house.
Mm-hmm. And it's her and Stephen.
She's worried that he blames her for the incident, because the entire time he's just been like stone face and quiet. And
because Joseph was hitting on her at church. Mm-hmm.
But he's literally psychic.
Yeah, he can tell she's not into
right.
Joseph.
But he's just leaving her in the hot seat until they get back.
That's mean. That is so manipulative.
But then he, like, right before she gets out of the car, he says that he believes her and knows it's not her fault. So then we're actually at the party that Vera and Seth were throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Vera tells Lydia Stephen's never been this happy and asks if she's met Stephen's parents. And this is when we find out that Stephen's parents aren't actually dead.
Oh.
So she broods about it for a while. Stephen flies her home, which Stephen has like a battery of vehicles. Like he's got the whole rich boy thing going on. Mm-hmm. He's got like motorcycles and classic cars and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't need any of them. He's got wings.
Right.
And I feel like he should use those more instead of buying all these stupid fucking cars.
And it's not even like in Lucifer or Twilight or any of these other things where they have to hide their supercar.
Yeah.
Everyone knows angels exist, mm-hmm. and everyone knows he's an angel.
Right. They get back to her place, and Stephen reads her, and he knows that she knows.
that his parents are alive.
Right.
And that he lied to her.
Uh-huh. And she gets like a nervous sweat from this because she's been caught knowing something she apparently wasn't supposed to know.
Red flag, yeah, man.
It feels weird. So they talk about
he should be feeling nervous about this. She should be feeling upset.
The one who was fucking lying.
Yeah.
So they agree to meet each other's parents. They have factual sex. Mm-hmm. And Lydia has another vague dream about angels fighting. Mm-hmm. So guess what the next chapter is going to be about?
Bible study, sex, angels fighting. Bam, bam, bam.
you got it. What? They're both 46? What the fuck?
You have two pages. This has got to be a format
here. No, look. It's page 46.
Page 46. Page
46. So for the listeners, I've been trying to figure out where the fuck my note was supposed to go. And two of the pages are just both page 46. Don't know why that is.
I mean, that seems like a really hard format error to make.
So Stephen has things to do today, so he's out for the day. I call Magdalene to come walking with me later. I don't know whether she called her later or...
or called to say come walking later.
Right.
Right.
And I talked to Magdalene about Stephen and his lie about his parents being dead. Maybe Stephen is right, Lydia.
About what?
About him lying to her. Magdalene is arguing in favor of Stephen now. Uh-huh. So in this moment, Magdalene sucks.
Yeah.
If it means you two being happy without his parents, then screw them. It's for the best. So then she goes over to Magdalene's because Magdalene now has a new boyfriend.
All right.
And his name is Garen. And he's very interested in Lydia's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Like to the point of that's why he's dating Magdalene?
Yeah. Well, the reason he's interested is because Stephen is a fallen angel.
Uh-huh.
So he's talking to Lydia and he says that he flies much faster and can also read minds, but not as good. And he said he would like some lessons.
So is he a black angel?
Well, it doesn't... I feel like the story should have said that he was at least a fallen angel, like, just as a guise.
Yeah.
But no, he's clearly a black angel, yeah.
Okay. But they don't know or they can't tell?
Nope, you can't... I guess you just can't tell by looking at him. I guess you just have to see how fast they fly.
An African pigeon.
So he's clearly a black angel because he has one of the one features that differ them from fallen angels. So Lydia actually figures this out and asks him directly if he's a black angel. And, but would you look at the time? It's time to derail this conversation. And then Lydia leaves. So he never answers her question, and then Magdalene walks in, and then Lydia's just like, well, I gotta go now.
So anytime she has any intelligent thinking or behavior,
mm-hmm.
it has to get
derailed.
It's
not allowed to matter,
it's
yeah.
not allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. That is frustrating.
Yeah, it really is. So she drives to Stephen's castle. Stephen is having a party that he never told Lydia about.
Oh.
Which is weird, right?
Rude. Yeah, that's rude.
Mm-hmm. So she tells Stephen that Garen is either A or the leader of the Black Angels, because it's very confusing as to how many leaders or if there are multiple leaders of the Black Angels.
Right, because they were able to banish the normal ones.
Mm-hmm. So it's confusing. And it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't really matter. Stephen says they will come up with a plan and apologizes for lying about his parents.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
the one good thing he does.
Hmm. So then Lydia starts wondering if there will always be danger with Stephen, but decides that it's a test of faith from God.
No, girl.
Yeah, it's no. Not. Real problematic. No. So this is Lydia to Magdalene later on. She's talking to Garen, or talking to her about Garen. And she's like trying to warn her friend. Garen is a black angel and he might be using her to get to Stephen. He says that to Magdalene.
Oh, okay.
This is Magdalene. You don't want me to be happy, do you?
Never mind. He might just be using you.
You think you're the only one who can be happy, which, to be fair, Lydia does think that.
Well, maybe that angel dick is just so good. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get rid of mine. I mean, you're allowed to have something. You're allowed to have yours. I get mine.
I mean, once you have an angel touch your love spot,
there's no going back to regular men, man. Dick ain't good enough no more.
Once you have angel,
producer you'll... Jay is just shaking his head at me.
once you have angel, you'll never go at another angle.
You're trying not to do the racist one.
Yeah. Bastard. So Lydia like talks her down. Magdalene also slept with Garen, so she's feeling extra betrayed. Lydia stays the night with her, but gets woken up in the middle of the night by Garen kidnapping both of them and taking them to the roof of her house, and then just fucking stands there?
So he is, trying to get Steven to show up.
Yeah.
Because obviously Steven shows up every time she's in danger.
You'd be right, because the very next thing that happens is Steven, Seth, and Sarah show up, mm-hmm. and... they just brought the crystals with them, and they're like, all right, we'll trade the crystals for the girls.
Are the other friends, Seth and Vera, are they angels?
Yep, they're also fallen angels. Did I not specify that?
I thought they were human.
No, they're
because he raped fallen. Vera.
Yeah.
So how would he rape her if she's an angel, too?
Apparently, their powers apply to other angels.
And she doesn't have a reverse power to defend herself?
Guess not. And apparently it doesn't matter that much to her because she just forgives him for no fucking reason.
So this is just a gang of angels just mm-hmm. fighting it out. Mm-hmm. And these are a few humans in the way of their turf war.
Yep, kind of.
Lame.
It really sucks.
Lame.
They do the exchange that never actually happens because he drops the girls and at the same time as they throw him the crystals, mm-hmm. but that never actually happens. He just drops the girls. But he does have the crystal. We just never actually see it happening. So they fall to the roof and they catch onto the rhyme.
Rhyme?
R-I-M-E. She meant rim.
Oh, I was like, is that a technical part of the roof I don't know of? The rim.
Yeah.
The rim of the roof?
The rim the of edge? The roof, yeah. Oh,
okay.
The gutter.
The gutter. They're
just hanging onto the gutter. So Steven stabs Garen, but he gets away, and the girls are saved. Lydia tells Steven that she really, 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 really wants to help this time, and he says no, because he's the man angel. Mm-hmm. So, next chapter. Joseph gets a new girlfriend that he does not like.
Why?
I don't know. But her name is Gavina. Horrible name. Horrible name.
What was the name of the dark angel? The black angel?
Garen.
And this one's Gavina.
Mm-hmm.
These are too well, close.
Well, she's not an angel.
Oh.
Which
this
it's
is just a
hard
human.
To, yeah. Well, we never get told who is what because you can't physically tell. So, potentially.
Oh. Well, it's just a bad name then. Hmm. Fully.
So Lydia tells Joseph that she's one hot lady, like, you know, trying to support him going after other women. Stop touching
really
me.
Hot. Go molest her.
Yeah.
So quit molesting me.
And Joseph just says, really, Lydia, who do you think I love?
Oh, my God. He deserves no one.
He doesn't like her. He doesn't like his girlfriend.
He does not deserve anyone.
He continues not liking her for the entire story, and Gavina just puts up with it. Like, maybe that's her kink. Like, she's got, like, a very specific...
Or she is just the mirror image of Lydia and has so much self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this guy pays her any attention just sends her over the mm-hmm. moon.
He doesn't pay her any attention, though, is the thing. Ever.
That is so sad.
I don't think he ever talks to her directly in the story.
Jacob was not this bad.
No, he wasn't.
He was at least consistent.
Yeah. So I just want to note how many times Steven says the words... I will never leave you, Lydia Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make a note of that for later. So then they all go to a bar. They all get in a fight with bikers. And then Stephen saves them. Big whoop. But Joseph gets beat up in the process. So next chapter, Joseph is in the hospital and he gets out. Lydia decides, okay, Friday sleepover at Joseph's. I say to them three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my favorite part of the book. Because mm-hmm. That's how you talk, like, just colloquially. I said to them three or something.
I don't know. Really, I don't think I say it that way.
I've said it like that before, but, you know, just not just being correct grammatically. But
right.
Stephen complains that she had not already told him that she was going to a sleepover, even though they all just decided this, like, the same day.
To take care of him, like, he gets released from the hospital and they're just at
yeah,
the
or to just
him.
Be supportive is the initial plan.
Okay.
But Stephen complains that she hadn't already told him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucked up because he literally never tells her anything that he's doing.
Right, and he's also, like, psychic. He can tell she didn't have this plan set up ahead of time to just fuck with him.
And in fact, he obscures information from her rather often. So the original intent of the sleepover was to support Joseph, but Lydia changes the entire plan to do the sleepover at her house, and now it just completely inconveniences Joseph just to suit Stephen.
Rude. Because, yeah. I mean, if he's the one who got injured and you're there
and now
him,
he has to be picked up and taken to Lydia's house so that they can have a sleepover to support him at a stranger's house.
This feels like teenagers bickering.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
This is so childish.
Mm-hmm. So everyone's getting ready for the sleepover. Gavina, up to this point, has been around, but mostly just kind of hangs around Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And is just in general interested in meeting fallen angels.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So at the same time, Stephen, Seth, and Vera hear about Garen's sister coming to town looking for Stephen. So this is pretty clearly forecasting just from the pattern, just from the last little bit of the story. Just like with Garen, like, this is kind of just the pattern. A new character gets introduced, they turn out to be part of the plot.
Yeah.
That seems to be what was happening here, to the point that after Stephen meets Gavina for the first time, like, he's never seen this woman, he just learned her name, and then he talks to Lydia, like, privately, talking about Garen's sister being in the area, and he just refers to her as Gavina.
I am so confused.
Yeah, it's so really lost. Fucking confusing. So what I think was happening here is the author was trying to do a red herring, because it's pretty clear that the story wants you to think that Gavina is going to be another Black Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And attack them later. Later on during the party, just some random ass lady shows up and her name's Claire and she's Garen's sister.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's just someone completely different.
Someone completely different. So that was almost a good red herring if she hadn't have fucked it up so bad. Because she
and picking such a weird name.
Because mm-hmm.
you could say her name's Jane, and mm-hmm. there's 10 Janes in this town.
Yeah.
And it could be, oh, that was the same name, just a different person. Mm-hmm.
But she fucked up so bad by having Stephen say that Garen's sister was Gavina, because that just really shows, like, the negative image that she was intending on that to be a red herring the entire time.
Yeah.
So Claire shows up and she's, like, threatening everyone, and Lydia's just like, don't hurt my friends, take me. So she does. She just fucking kidnaps her. And that's when she starts gaslighting Lydia, because Claire didn't kidnap Lydia to get to Stephen for any particular reason,
mm-hmm.
like to do with the greater plot about the crystals or the Black Angel something. It's just because she's jealous of Lydia, because she wants to be with Stephen. That's the entire reason this entire next portion happens. So she starts gaslighting Lydia, or not really gaslighting, just kind of telling the truth. that Steven is manipulating her and hypnotizing her, which she fucking is.
Mm-hmm.
So Steven, Seth, and Vera show up. Steven has a strong fight with Garen.
Strong fight.
Yeah.
Much manly.
Much man. They have muscles, even.
Mm-hmm. You can smell the testosterone from here.
I almost stopped reading this book entirely at this point. So, I don't know what's happening with Seth, Vera, Lydia, and Claire at this point. But Garen and Steven are having a strong fight. And then the Fallen Angel Police show up.
We all.
They just have lights on their wings. I thought this was a joke. At this point, I just okay. This is when I sent that whole stream of messages to the group. Because I was just like, I don't know if we can do this anymore. I don't think we can do this.
Oh my god!
It's just like a little kid playing like cops and robbers,
mm-hmm.
and he's like losing the game or something. He's like, "No, here come the police to get you now."
Mm-hmm.
The heretofore never mentioned Fallen Angel police. Show up and just arrest Garen and Gavina. That's the plot. They get the crystals back now.
Hey, how would you handcuff an angel if they got wings? You'd have to like...
You like got special car. Cuffs just for the wings, just to clip them together.
You'd have to, like,
oh, God.
Put the thing that you put on the tire, like a clamshell or whatever, you'd have to put it on their wings.
So, I think now's a good time to really suffer through the implications of Fallen Angel bureaucracy. So, I think we should go ahead and just take a break for ads now.
Brought to you by Angelic Cops or Cop Angels.
Support the Oregon State Angel Police.
Oh,
God. I've been waiting for so fucking long to do that one.
Hello, Biblio fans, friends, and fiends. Just taking a moment to tell you how to find our growing community. We're on Facebook and Instagram, where I try to post pretty often. And we have a subreddit that we will start using as soon as Bam Bam gets over his crippling fear of Reddit. And of course, our YouTube. Look us up at BiblioRex. We would love to hear suggestions and chat about bad books there, as well as over email, bibliorex@gmail.com. That's spelled BIBLIOWRECKS. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to that bad book. And we are back from crying with laughter.
Oh, it's still funny. It's been like
Fallen Angel Police.
What a concept.
And we still don't have a clear understanding of the population of angels in the world mm-hmm. as a whole. It's yep. so weird.
You know, we do have an understanding of, like, even the angel police only arrest in this book only black angels.
Oh my god. That tracks.
Yeah,
that's fun.
It does.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, it's so much fun. I don't think the author was purposely trying to be racist. I think she's just kind of dense.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like dark angel, light angel, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
A lot of those words are just part of our
mm-hmm.
language around good and bad,
right,
and
yeah.
a lot of like mythology yeah. uses those.
So I think I came across the actual reason that the Fallen Angel Police were brought up, because Garen and Gavina never come up again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they get arrested and they're gone forever.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I think the reason is because Steven's not allowed to kill anyone anymore for the sake of the story, because he's supposed to be, like, repenting. So he's not allowed to kill things.
He's doing the heel churn, where he's on the redemption arc.
Yeah. So, and there's no way for her to just be done with these two characters unless either, one, they die, or they're put away in some other way. And I guess she just couldn't think of any other way to get rid of this. So she invented the
Because it wasn't a
form.
Justified killing.
Yeah. And it's not.
Did they take him away in, like, angelic police cars with wings? Is it
never
flying cop cars?
It never mentions them again. Never brings the fallen angel police. I wonder if the fallen angel police, which side of the fight against good and evil they land on. Oh boy. Now, at this point, a lot of the stuff is just stuff we've already gone over, more arguments, stuff. Everything's going to move a little bit faster at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they get done with that situation. Lydia goes home, goes to sleep, because that's the only way we can transition chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia wakes up sweating, puts some lavender oil on her face, and immediately goes back to sleep.
Nice.
Yep. And Steven's just super clingy now that they've had, like, a I guess, harrowing situation, even though nothing fucking happened.
It was just the threat of her getting taken from him?
Yeah, so he's constantly around her, which, I mean, he doesn't, like, have a job or anything like that, so he's just always, like, within, like, 100 feet of her, it seems.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Do fallen angels have jobs?
I don't think so. I don't know if they...
Because he has a house and
Yeah, they
cars.
Seem to make
he
money.
Has money.
But it seems like they don't have a day job. I don't know. Maybe the Catholic Church just supports them. Maybe that's where all those donations go.
I don't know. I just don't know about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to seem a little far-fetched, doesn't it?
Touche.
So another day passes. Lydia gets awarded at work with implementing the curriculum in school. Now, please correct me. Isn't that the entire job of being a teacher, is implementing curriculum at school? Like, that's just broadly the job description, right?
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if she meant something else, like the sick and language
know.
Question
she
of. Because, I mean, teachers get awarded Teacher of the Year.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about this was the best teacher in the whole school system, and she gets her picture and a plaque and a bonus.
Right, but this never comes up again. Her job is never important to the largest. Why is this in here?
Okay, so maybe it's just the self-insert. She's the bestest teacher ever.
I think so, because according to her social media, she also works as an actual preschool teacher.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So this is more self-insert than I realized.
Yeah, this is very direct.
Oh, ouch.
Mm-hmm. Also,
how much do you want to bet she watched little kids playing and used their dialogue to write this
Oh
book?
My God, it feels like it. It really feels like it, though. So, after work, Joseph is still being a rapey douche. We've done this already. It's just another instance of the same. And Steven stops it, whatever. He gives Joseph a talking to. Next chapter. This time, the story is trying another red herring, except it actually kind of pulls it off this time.
Oh.
So, a suspicious acting character is introduced and is later subverted by it being another new character that arrives during a slumber party.
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna skip straight to that. The red herring doesn't matter. It's done better than it was in the last little arc, but it still sucks.
Mm.
All that we've really skipped, we skipped like 4 chapters there. We skipped a 50s themed party at the Angel House. And more relationship stuff and cloud sex. Nothing really of note happened. Steven and Seth are out looking for the current MacGuffin, the one that's just threatening Lydia this chapter. Lydia starts grilling Vera for info because, as usual, Steven has left her in the dark. So Vera says they think it may be more Black Angels, but it's okay because the fallen angels are stronger and faster than them now. So
what happened was they got booted out of the game, and then when they respawn, they have to run around and collect all their armor and stats again.
So I've actually got a tentatively calling it a fan theory. Because later in the story, we find out the reason the angels fall down to Oregon is because it has so much good energy just coming from Oregon for some reason. In a separate exposition, we find out that Lydia is basically a waterfall of good energy.
Gross.
I don't think the author actually intended for the things that the information in the story implies to be what we take away, but
right.
I had to do something with this because everything was so fucking stupid.
Right.
So I've just come up with my own fan theory and I'm having fun with it. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems that Steven is just using Lydia as a kind of food source.
Because she has all the good energy.
Yeah, because she spent a lot of time around them, and it seems like now they're stronger and faster, and it seems like it's because Lydia is around.
This is pulling so much from Lucifer, because Chloe was like this powerful thing that helped him change.
Oh, really?
And she was special and different.
Yeah, a lot of those notes are getting hit.
A lot of these notes are getting hit.
Maybe she did watch Lucifer. She just didn't pay attention very well.
Or had to change more of it so that it wasn't just straight up ripoff. Because you actually have a lot of those bad angel, good angel fights. And it kind of makes me also think of the good vampire, bad vampire fights in Twilight. And it's like silly human, not very strong, and you have to have conflict.
So Lydia, this is another chapter. She goes to sleep. It's a new chapter. Lydia has a nightmare about a faceless woman in black who tries to kill her in a cabin. She wakes up to Steven making her breakfast in bed. Isn't that fucking nice.
Lovely. Yep. Must feed my food source.
I have to keep her healthy or else I can't eat. Lydia heads back to Steven's castle from work later on. Joseph is there talking to Steven. They have decided, without Lydia's involvement at all, the best thing for her is to stay at Joseph's until they find this newest bad guy who's been threatening her with phone calls and dead crows.
Oh.
Yeah, they've been, like, leaving dead crows on her doorstep and shit. So, totally out of Lydia's purview, they found out that it's some lady called Midnight. Steven just figured that out off screen. Doesn't matter. And she wants to take Lydia's special energy.
Oh.
If this lady named Midnight actually gets it, then all that happens is Lydia passes out, and then they have to wake her up with a prayer, which they talk about it like it's an actual physical object, because they say if it gets destroyed, then she falls asleep until they find another prayer.
And it's not like lighting a candle or a piece of paper?
I don't know. They don't say specifically. Like, they just say a prayer, like, you know, just one you would say. But it can get destroyed, which means it's physical.
I mean, in Catholicism, they have a lot of holy relics that they use physically to do things.
Right, but it's never... It's just not described, and it really pisses me off.
Right, because if you're going to do that, just do it and make it into an object.
I'm trying my best to meet the story where it's at, not where it should be, because it shouldn't be here. Yeah, this just goes into more of the, there's no actual stakes, but even though there aren't really any stakes, Steven says the risk is just too damn high, and... They set this up to happen later in the week, because first, in chapter 33, they're going to go to Lydia's family for a day and visit them.
Oh.
Yeah, because nice. They said they were going to do that earlier, and they're finally actually following through with it.
Okay.
So they visit them. It's literally nothing. And then they go visit Steven's family, where Steven invites his possibly serial killer 10-year-old brother, which we don't find out he's 10 years old until, like, way later. So I just imagine him being, like, contemporary age, like he's, like, 20-something, 30. Yeah. The story just treats him like he's a fucking serial killer.
Wait, he killed people?
He does later. He's just really creepy.
Huh.
And yeah, that's all he
does. This is Steven's brother.
So this is, again, I think his brother Abaddon is just being used as a murder proxy for Steven because Steven can't do the murder.
Because he's on his redemption
arc. Right. I like to imagine Abaddon is like one of those actual biblically accurate angels, the one that's made up like of a bunch of eyes and just non-Euclidean shapes. Yeah. later on, just before bed, like they go home from their house, mm-hmm. or from Stephen's parents' house, rather, and they take Abaddon with them. And just before Lydia goes to bed, Abaddon visits her in her room just to tell her not to be frightened of him.
Because that works.
It does not work. It's like way later on we find out he's 10 because it's Lydia talking to Joseph that she brings up his age. That he's a 10-year-old.
Weird.
It is weird.
Why would he be in your bedroom? That's just weird.
Yeah.
So fallen angels have a normal, like, lifespan maturation cycle, like
seems
humans?
To be, because he's 10 years old. I imagine he's like 10 physical years old, not like 10 conceptual years for a 1,000-year-old angelic being. I don't know.
This is so confusing.
It's stupid. It's really stupid. Lydia goes to Joseph's as was decided for her.
Mm-hmm.
Until the whole midnight thing blows over.
Because Joseph can protect her.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah. No.
Hmm.
Joseph sucks. He can't do anything.
So why wouldn't she just stick by Steven's side? Because he can protect her.
Well, the author is just trying to give the illusion of stakes, even though there really aren't any, even within the model of the story.
Right. Because it's not like she'll even die.
Yeah. So Joseph keeps trying to convince Lydia to love him while Gavina is like just in and out of the room. He doesn't regard her, like, at all. Lydia tells him no, and then he just, like, storms out of the room, and then Gavina is just like, don't worry, I'll talk to him. I know he's still in love with you, and then goes and tends to Joseph. Midnight comes in, like, while they're all doing a slumber party. The electricity goes out. Midnight comes in with a murder of crows and demands Lydia just be given to her.
Mm-hmm.
Mid altercation, Lydia explains who, what, and why Midnight is.
Oh.
And that if she gets Lydia's energy, that she'll get stronger. The story never uses curse words except when Steven is mad and when anytime Midnight speaks.
Oh.
Every sentence she says, she's cursing. And it's hilarious because I don't mean to pick on you.
I know. Just thinking of that, and over the years,
it's like
it has been really funny.
Yeah, it's like when you
try to cuss.
Not so much now. Like both you and Lily are better about it, but just kind of coming out of that sheltered environment, and mm-hmm. then you guys start using curse words badly,
we sound
and it's
like
very
Spock
funny. Yeah,
in the trying to fit in. Home of trying to use the words, and mm-hmm. we sound quite silly.
Yeah, you guys are much better about it now. I don't think about it at all.
And when you live that life of extreme piety and zealotry, and mm-hmm. you feel like every bad thought, every bad word is gonna cause lightning to strike mm-hmm. you. And I think it's interesting. This author is really very much in that space mm-hmm. of wanting to use the bad words, wanting to be bad, and mm-hmm. is like, ooh, this is kind of fun and titillating. But they don't know how to use it because, right. and they can only give it to the bad person who mm-hmm. has been bad.
Yeah.
Have I ever
told you guys about when I got earrings as a kid?
I don't think so.
So... My parents let me get earrings, and I was also like hyper aware of like just things that were like conceptually considered evil. So the only, it was like the mall kiosk, ear piercing thing. And the only like even vaguely masculine option was some skull earrings. And I was like, oh no, those are evil. If I wear those, I'm going to go to hell. So I was like, I'm going to get the ladybug earrings. And my mom was like, absolutely not.
Oh,
that's gay.
Oh, no.
So I don't know who was in the wrong there. I think both of us were.
It's funny. I wasn't allowed to wear skeletons or skulls or things like that or peace signs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy has been like, Mom, you're keeping me all, you know, not allowing me to do da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And all of her friends are allowed. And I'm like, honey, sweetie pie, when you were two, I bought the first shirt that had a peace sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried because I was breaking the rule I grew up with to never wear peace signs. And the first time I bought her something that had little skeletons on it or even a jack-o'-lantern was a huge deal for me. Everyone else didn't know or care because to them that's so silly. But I was trying to explain to Amy, I was like, this was a big deal to me. Okay. The fact I let you watch TV, that anything that's PG, that's a huge deal to me, darling. I'm sorry I won't let you do the TikTok dances and be on Snapchat.
Traumatic. Let's get back to the story. We'll deal with personal traumas later. So Lydia tries to sacrifice herself to protect her friends, but Joseph threatens to break her arm. And that's just so specific.
That's
like, just a broad refusal would do.
Right.
Why are you threatening to specifically break her arm? Like, I feel like you just want to do it now.
And sacrifice herself how?
Just giving herself over to Midnight and just let her take her energy.
Like just walking over to her and saying, yes, I'll go with
just
you.
Just walk across the room and just let her eat her energy or something. Because she doesn't have to take her anywhere special. She does it, like, in the room later.
No stakes. There's just no stakes.
Yeah, there aren't. Nope.
It's just male violence and female victimhood.
Mm-hmm. So for four pages, everyone agonizes about where Steven is and why he isn't there. Because every other... Normally, I would say they're being fucking unreasonable. But every other time that anything has happened, he's just appeared.
Yeah.
And he's literally psychic.
Yeah.
So Steven gets there just in time. Lydia, before she's wrung out like a sponge, Midnight gets a knockdown, and Abaddon bites Midnight's neck to death. Abaddon just comes in and tackles her and bites her neck until she dies.
Little 10-year-old kid.
Yep.
Just
yep. Very silly and funny to me. It's so bizarre. Is this kid going to hell? He's doing murders, but he's like before the age of something. But does that count if you're an angel, though? So many arbitrary lines to draw.
And you could just scare Midnight away. You don't even have to kill her, do you?
They fucking do, though. So that's how it goes. So everyone's still blaming Steven for being late, which... Number one, I agree. Fuck you, Steven. But he was actually fighting with another angel that was about to kill Abaddon. So, I mean, he's got, within the frame of the story, he's got an excuse, but also, fuck you, Steven.
So he's fighting to save Abaddon, and then Abaddon goes and saves...
Well...
Lydia?
It's like Steven and Abaddon were being held up in a fight with some other angels... while Midnight was there trying to take Lydia's energy.
Okay.
And they had to kill the other Black Angel first and then go over there instantaneously.
And that's not considered murder.
Yeah.
Even though it's of his own kind, essentially.
Yeah. It's very inconsistent.
Well, if it's not...
Abaddon might have killed that angel. You never know. Maybe Steven just pushed that Black Angel down, and then...
Well, if that Black Angel killing him wasn't murder, then killing Midnight wouldn't be murder either.
You'd think. Arbitrary lines.
Catholic, no consistency.
Nope. Post-fight trauma sex they have.
Lovely.
It's sex. Mm-hmm. Lydia forgives Steven for not getting there fast enough, goddammit. Steven and Joseph have a Twilight, I will protect you, or I will protect her conversation again for an entire chapter. Next chapter, Lydia wakes up after a 5-hour nap because this author only understands how to separate events by sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing pool now is why this chapter is.
It makes me think of Shadowed by Darkness, where every chapter was somebody getting knocked out.
So, next chapter, an entire month passes.
Oh.
Yep. So, they're all at church. Magdalene is concerned Stephen might be a bit controlling because Stephen has been watching her like a hawk and won't let her do anything outside of his presence.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Standing Mag again. She's redeemed herself in my eyes. She's anti-Stephen now, so.
This is the author's one lone friend who's like, hey, you should be able to go do things on your own.
Hey, you want to lead this cult? You want to get out? You
can turn your phone off. He doesn't have to watch your location the whole time.
So Joseph has been avoiding / stalking Lydia at the same time for this entire month. So he'll just be like far away from her, not talking to her, but also watching her. So she's just got two dudes.
What?
So she's just got two dudes just watching her every move.
That's just creepy.
Mm-hmm. And poor Gavina just still hanging out with Joseph.
Please love me, please.
While he's just...
mooning over Lydia.
Yeah.
The sad moron. Jeez.
Then he starts complaining that Steven is bad, also for Steven to stop paralyzing
him. And I don't know. If I had that power, I might abuse it a little bit.
Just for my own little headcanon, I just like to imagine this entire month is just Steven, just every time he comes, like, anywhere near Joseph, he'll just go, like, tap him and paralyze him, just to inconvenience him for 10 minutes. So then he grabs Lydia for the umpteenth time, and Steven stops him for the umpteenth time.
Okay. For Jacob, he does it the one time, and she punches him, and then he kind of learns his lesson. 50 Shades of Grey, it's the one time he is drunk, and she's drunk, and he tries to kiss her. He gets punched in the face, and he gets... a clue. Mm-hmm. Why does this guy have to do this the whole book? I mean, surely most guys would get a clue. Oh my god.
So, Steven takes Lydia to dinner at a diner. Not at a diner, diner.
That's diner.
And it's not in Erie.
Oh.
Yeah, totally this different locale.
This is the Leaving Forks
finally, scene. A sixth location.
This is Italian in the other place they went to.
So this is specifically a diner where a lot of fallen angels hang out. This is where we're going to start getting some exposition about the angels, like really close to the end of the book.
That's not fair.
Nope, it's not.
That's annoying.
This seems to be the author's excuse for Lydia to get exposition from some fallen angels that she hasn't already interacted with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at this point, this is the fourth time that the song Slow Hands has been brought up. And it's Slow Hands by Niall Horan or Niall Horan. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you'd say that.
Yeah, I don't know. So a random angel comments on Lydia. Nice energy. And Steven, like, tells him to back off. Like, like she's a carcass on the savannah.
This is my meat.
And then the angel like looks back at her and licks his lip as he leaves, or licks his lips.
Mm-hmm.
So it really feels like she's a literal food source for them.
Yeah, and that's why he's been hanging
Steven's
on to
getting
her.
Stronger. And like even she says that like she's super plain.
Yeah, she was saying, look at me, like she's ugly. Wow, that just changes the whole book.
Yeah. I don't know if it was meant to be looked at like this, but it really feels like these angels are just energy leeches on humans.
Yeah. And if you find a really good human who has the right energy for you, you just mm-hmm. hang on to them and feed off of them.
Yeah, and touch their love spot.
Maybe that's how he gets, like, more energy from her is through sex.
Maybe. And on top of that, like, the whole hypnosis thing, it's hard to tell how much coercion is actually happening here, because Claire earlier was like, hey, he's hypnotizing you, he's controlling you, and mm-hmm. it's never resolved. Like, it's mm-hmm. brought up as, like, kind of Lydia's insecurity a couple of times, but never get a resolution to that.
Weird.
So they go and meet an angel named Gwyneth, who tells Lydia about Oregon being a hot spot and how much juice Lydia has. So next chapter, Lydia dreams about her friends getting possessed by demons. Cool. Mm-hmm. Never had demons brought up until now, but here they are.
Yeah, wait, demons?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all of these have been angels.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just suddenly there are demons now.
At the end of the book.
Yep. Well, it's kind of part of it, because now is when you start hearing trumpets.
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah.
End of the world, like the...
And that's when the demons come out. From absolutely out of nowhere, someone named Madame Matilda calls Lydia and then just comes over to talk about, or to explain to Lydia about Lydia's abilities that we heretofore have not really known, except for maybe the prophetic dreaming. You probably could have guessed that, because she's mm-hmm. constantly asleep and having vaguely dreams that sort of explain things that are going to happen.
And also, if the whole midnight touches her and she passes out or falls asleep, mm-hmm. that would help explain why he's around her and then she sleeps and has, like, all these dreams. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be connected to that.
Because prior to contact with Stephen for the first time,
mm-hmm.
it's never brought up that she has any of these dreams. It's only after she meets him.
Right.
So,
Madame Matilda.
Mm-hmm. So, Madame Matilda tells her that she has prophetic dreams. She's an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And she's clairsentient.
This is very the secret mystical stuff.
Yep.
Clairsentient?
Comes from the French words clair and sentient.
I know, but what does it mean?
Translates to clear feeling. A clairsentient person is able to tap into emotional energy of others and receive a clear psychic message, which is not applicable to this book at all, because she never does that.
No, that would be something Stephen has. Mm-hmm. That would be Stephen's ability, not hers.
Yep, but she never actually gets that. So I don't know if that definition, which all this spiritual shit is so vague anyway. It could mean anything.
True, but it's possible she meant something else and used the wrong word.
They have another everyone be in location, get attacked, and wait for Stephen to save us event. Except this time it's demon flavored. And they hear a trumpet, and then another trumpet. Apparently it's Judgment Day sometime soon.
Mm.
Occasionally throughout the book, Stephen's potential damnation is brought up. Like, if Stephen isn't forgiven, he's going to go to hell, and then he can't stay on Earth with Lydia, is the main driver there.
Right.
So, next chapter, everyone leaves for work.
End of the world. Yeah, gotta go into the office.
Well, I mean, no one knows when the last trumpet's gonna happen.
True.
And it's funny, because right after everyone leaves it, you get the last trumpet. So everyone's just gotta run back. And I can't believe that wasn't done for comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, I'm, like, convinced this woman is a secret super genius, and this is just... machine manufactured to make me specifically laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone goes back to Stephen's castle to use his bunker full of supplies, because they don't know how long the whole fight thing is gonna last, and it ends up only lasting like an hour, so it doesn't really matter.
And this is a fight between angels and demons?
This is a fight between God and Satan.
Stephen isn't at that fight?
No, he's going to be a part of it. He's on God's side.
So he for sure isn't Satan?
Yeah. No. Super isn't.
Because that was a question at the beginning when she mm-hmm. first met him, was like, is he Satan? Because he has all this Satan iconography.
Yeah. That was my question, but apparently it was just for fucking nothing.
Oh, okay.
Before leaving to fight Satan, he asks Lydia to marry him. And of course she says yeah. So, and then he leaves.
Making the end of the world boring is a crime.
Well, it's not even the end
of the world. Fallen angel police on you.
Oh, God. I'm going to get a tattoo that just says Fallen Angel Police.
That should be our Bibliorex art we use on our bookmarks.
Oh, my God. Just funny.
Figure out something on Canva or get Lily or Amy to draw something for us. Or just AI art,
yeah. Beginning of chapter 41, it's just titled Satan. You know what else is Satan?
You for making me go through this.
Also, our ads and sponsors.
We love you. Hello, Biblio freaks, geeks, and lovers. Bugs here. We wanted to let you know about our option to follow us on Patreon. We have a couple of tiers where you can listen to our bad book, bad movie review. We read a bad book and then we watch its bad movie counterpart. In the past, we've done Eragon, Shadow Builder by Bram Stoker, and we have a lot of different things in the future. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for future bad book, bad movie combos, and let's get back to the podcast.
And we're back for Satan.
Satan.
So I'm just going to read the first couple of lines at chapter 41 because they are fucking bizarre, man. I'm able to see a red planet on one side. Evil Satan. I don't know where these fucking planets are. I guess they're in the sky and she can just see Satan on this planet in the sky. I don't know.
That's weird.
It's very confusing. A white planet on another side. Good God.
Okay. A war of the planets.
Yep. Stephen closes the door behind him. Joseph locks it. And this is where they stay in the bunker for like 30 seconds before they just decide, all right, we're going to go out there, right? Everyone just leaves the bunker and they just all go out and demons and angels and planets are fighting.
Fun.
So Lydia just goes out and she finds a scared angel. This is the only angel in the story that isn't referred to as fallen or black. God, that feels fucked up to say. And Lydia just coaxes her back into the fight by telling her how proud God is of her.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is full manifestation mode, Lydia.
Right.
So then Lydia just starts killing a bunch of demons. She kills like 20 demons in a row.
How?
She grabs a weapon somewhere and just starts like stabbing demons.
Like with a sword?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember, and I don't care enough to go back and look.
Not making sense, but no, okay. It doesn't. Moving on.
So she kills a bunch of demons, and then Satan grabs her.
Okay.
And Satan's reasoning here is fucking coherent, so I'm not even going to bring it up. He hypnotizes Lydia seemingly the same way that Stephen does, right? Mm-hmm. And she's drawn to him the same way she is with Stephen. Just another weird thing to bring up that is implied to mean something, but is never explicitly put together with all these other elements. So Steve pushes Lydia out of Satan's grasp, but don't worry. Lydia takes the time to thought explain to the audience that it was okay. He was just trying to save her. Which is just really, that feels like an abuse victim thing to say, right?
Yeah, like he shoved me, but it was to save me.
Right.
Because most people would understand, yeah, he pushed you out of the way.
Right.
And it was to save because, you. You know, you don't Satan, need to explain that.
Satan was holding you.
Yeah.
Another demon grabs her out of nowhere and takes her to hell.
Oh.
The pit of hell is present, a hole in the ground. And from the description, it seems like it's only like 40 feet deep or something.
Oh, so it's pretty close to the surface.
It's so vague. Like, she can still, like, look out of the hole and talk to people. So she's not that far into hell, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So the demon is going to sacrifice Lydia to himself, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, no, please don't use me as a sacrifice. Use someone from a prison. They deserve this, not me.
Oh.
I haven't done anything wrong. Please let me go. What do you want from me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Weird fucked up comment.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucking.
I'm too pure.
So this is when Lydia saves herself with her bullshit positivity light powers that she suddenly gains.
Uh-huh.
She's manifesting superpowers, and she just has them now.
Oh, okay.
And she tells the demon that he has family that loves him, and he should repent, and then he just does, and he goes to heaven.
The demon.
Mm-hmm. The one that was about to sacrifice her.
Repents.
Repents to God, and she's just like, yeah, the battle's almost over. God's winning. Don't you want to go to heaven? And then he just does, and he goes to heaven.
I don't know if I've ever come across, like, really a story of demons as being
redeemable in any way. Yeah.
To this degree.
Mm-hmm. Then Satan comes down into hell, 40 feet down in the hole,
mm-hmm.
and then she tries to do it to him, and she, like, appeals to Satan's family.
Mm.
And does Satan have family? Like, isn't God just his dad?
Yeah.
Michael's his brother or something, right? The whole supernatural dynamic.
I don't know. I don't know. And I just don't think of demons and angels as having family at all.
Yeah, it's weird. So anyway, she passes out. She can't actually make Satan repent.
She can't mojo him.
Yeah,
like she
can't.
Did the lower demon.
Yeah. And Stephen stabs Santa.
Santa. It was Mr. Bell from Satan.
Yeah, but it says Stephen stabs Santa, and I thought it was fucking hilarious.
That is really funny. You got me.
So Armageddon's over.
I actually thought there was a Santa there for a second. I mean, if we have, you know, angel cops just showing up.
Yeah. So, yeah, Armageddon's done. Lydia wakes up in a hospital. Everyone is happy-ish, you know, because Armageddon's over. But also something else. Stevens left, and he left Lydia a note. It basically reads, I'm paraphrasing the hell out of this because it doesn't. Dear Lydia, I love you very much for 40 sentences,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to go date God now. You belong to Joseph now. Goodbye forever, Stephen Demogorgon. P.S. My dad killed your mom. My B. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, huh?
Are you okay?
I'm not. This book has broken me.
Stephen is going to date God.
I paraphrased that. I was being colorful there. He just goes to be with God.
He's going to heaven to live with God.
Yeah. And leaves God Lydia.
Is God his dad?
I don't know.
Because he says his dad killed her mom.
Yeah, his actual physical dad that they met earlier in the book.
Oh.
When they were meeting parents and he picked up Abaddon.
Uh-huh.
They talk to Stephen's parents, but they don't really talk about anything, so it doesn't really matter. They just like Lydia. It's fine. But, yeah, right here at the end, he just says, by the way, my dad killed your mom. I'm really sorry I didn't tell you. I didn't know how to, and
being a coward is not a great excuse, man.
Yeah.
Because you did that with the rape thing. Oh, I was too scared to not.
And then PPS, light trumps darkness or something. It's really dumb.
Light will overthrow the darkness.
Yeah, pretty much. Blah, like, blah, blah. Why would you end your letter like that? Your breakup letter. And also the my dad killed your mom letter.
And I'm giving you to Joseph?
Yeah. He doesn't say that explicitly. He just says, Joseph will take care of you now. And I just inferred that. Because it feels that way. Lydia falls in the snow. It's apparently winter.
Oh.
Yeah. No idea. She begs God to bring Stephen back and then looks up to the sky through flowing tears. The end. Was it worth it?
No. This is really bad Lucifer fan fiction. It is, because at that end of the battle thing, he has to go be God, and Chloe can't follow him.
Wow.
This is really bad, really, really bad Lucifer fan fiction.
I think it's the best thing I've ever read, ironically.
Do you think it's a Poe, or do you think it is an intentional, or what's the opposite?
Is it fan fiction, or is
it... No, a Poe is where they are intending to be that bad, and they think you'll take it seriously, but they're on purpose making it absurd.
I don't know. I don't think so, honestly. I would like to think that this was done on purpose and it was purposely made funny this way, because that would actually be really clever.
Yeah.
I don't think really it funny. Was. I think it was just a language barrier thing and also just a bad storytelling thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more and more we went through it, the more I'm seeing plot pieces from Twilight and Lucifer and probably, like you're saying, was it Supernatural or... Mm-hmm. That TV show.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have fallen angels and then you have black angels and then you have angel police and then you have the end of the world and you have all these arbitrary random things happen that don't make sense in the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're already following these ideas or these other stories, they probably made a lot more sense to her in her head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, this is like a headcanon thing that, as long as it just stays in your head, and you're just interacting with the media you're taking it from, it's fine. But once you write it down, it starts sounding really stupid.
It's kind of like, I'm a boring preschool teacher. How could I be involved in these exciting things that happen in these movies?
So I'm going to give this 2-letter grades. The literal grade for this is just an F. It can't be anything but. Like, there's nothing.
It needs so much work.
Yeah, story-wise, it's bad. Writing ability.
It needed someone to edit it and format it.
It needed someone else to write it.
Well, it's way too long. Yeah. I felt like this should have ended in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Or a third of the way through.
This motherfucker had 4 fucking climaxes.
Yeah, like that was my other thing. This almost felt episodic.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was 4 separate episodes of a TV show.
The fourth or the third climax that happened, I just skipped it because it was basically the same as the previous 2 and it didn't fucking matter.
Oh, okay. So that's why I was mistaken. That's why I was like, there was 3. And you said there's 4. Yeah, the thing is that it feels like if this was episodic and based on a TV show, that makes sense. And instead of having 3 novellas and then having it just be explicitly Supernatural fanfic or Lucifer fanfic or whatever, trying to put it all together and then trying to make the world work, but she's pulling from these other source materials and it's not meshing.
Yeah.
Poorly done. Very sad.
Factual letter grade gets an F.
For your heart.
Spiritual.
You give it 2 hearts and a thumbs up. I can see it in your eyes.
I give it 7 straight hours of hysterical laughter. which I think lands somewhere around a B or an A or something.
That sounds like an A. Yeah.
I've never laughed. I've never had any piece of media make me laugh for as long as this one did.
That's awesome.
And that is, really that is an accomplishment. And I tentatively compliment the writer on being able to do that.
Would even you if they read didn't intend something to. Else they wrote?
If it was written like this, yes, absolutely. Yes,
then that's an A.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, thank you so much for going on this trip.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I don't care if anyone else likes this. This is for me.
Thank you so much, listener, for sending this in as a suggestion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at Mystery World 8170, thank you so much. This has been a real blast.
You have made Bam Bam very happy, and you've made him laugh cry, which I don't know if I've seen in our friendship of, 6 years?
Yeah. Does not happen often.
Yeah.
But boy, did it. It's happened like 3 times going over this. Like once while I was just reading it, once during the notes, and then now during the recording. Every time I come across this piece of media, I'm going to have hysterical laughter.
So send us in your suggestions, because proof is in the pudding. Yep. We will read it.
Please, more suggestions. I'll read anything someone asks me to, if it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, if it's bad enough, we will do it, and we will cry laughing.
Yep.
Thank you, Jay, for being here all evening. Thank you so much, Bam Bam, for that wild ride.
I know you don't mean it. It's fine.
I don't. I didn't like it. That was awful.
Thank you so much, listeners, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.